Marsha Maron grew up surrounded by the evocative power of food. Maron was born in Tehran, but grew up in Argentina, where her parents ran a Middle Eastern cafe. These days, she lives in Ireland, where she wrote the novel Pomegranate Soup. It's the story of Iranian sisters who turn a small Irish town on its ear with their sensual Iranian cooking. Maron told Anne Strangechamps that her parents fled Iran after abandoning plans to come to the United States. Her father went to pick up his visa the morning the revolution began.
That morning he was lined up was the same morning that the revolutionary students took the embassy hostage.
Oh my
goodness. So he had completely horrible timing. You know, if he had gone a day before, maybe things would have been different. I'm not sure. But, you know, he went home and everything fell apart. They weren't able to come to the United States like they had planned. And, you know, they were desperate to leave. And they had friends who had left to go to Argentina. It's one of the countries that was very open to immigrants. And they decided to go there. They went to Buenos Aires. The three of us went, my mother, my father, and I. Yeah, and, you know, they gave up a lot of their dreams, and they had to survive. They didn't know Spanish. They knew English, but they didn't know Spanish, and they had to, you know, find a way of making ends meet, and they opened up a cafe. And that's where my love affair with food and Persian food began.
Well, like you, your characters in Pomegranate Soup are Iranians set against a Western background, and, I mean, in this case, it's an Irish small town. It's quite a contrast in cultures you've created. I mean, you sort of deliberately made these Iranian sisters just like a magical breath of richness and beauty against this small Irish town. Tell me about the two cultures you're wanting to portray here.
Well, they're not as different as at first glance. I married an Irishman, first of all. I've been married to him for 8 years, so I'm Irish in a lot of ways now. But the two cultures have a lot of similarities, and there's the language, the love of the language. They both have the love of poetry. The Irish family is very strong, and so is the Persian family. So I began to see there's something the same. But as far as having these three Iranian sisters come into this town and be different, the big difference between the Irish and the Iranians is the food. Big difference. You know, Irish people are great drinkers. Iranians cannot hold their alcohol. And vice versa when it comes to food. You know, Iranians, their cuisine is one of their cornerstones of their culture. It's considered a great art. And what I discovered living in Ireland, living with an Irishman, is that food is just there for sustenance. You know, it's not there for flavor. It's not there for enjoyment or pleasure. And, you know, Ireland has changed a lot in the last 10 years. And, you know, they've discovered a lot of cuisines and a lot of ways of making even traditional Irish food to make it more interesting. But I think in the 80s especially, it wasn't something that was the norm. And, you know, it's a nice, gentle clash, you know?
And, well, describe something of the impact these sisters' cafe has on this Irish village just in terms of the food, the introduction of these new smells.
Yes, smells are really important in this book. They're actually the first sign of the sisters' arrival. Before they're even seen, the smells are seeping through the cafe doors and out into the main street. Cardamom and cumin and rose water. Absolutely foreign smells, absolutely exotic smells. And you would not have found that, you know, in Ireland back then. Nowadays, you can go to the supermarket and get a few of those things. But back then, you wouldn't have in 1986. And, you know, these sisters pronounce themselves in this sensual way, and it completely shakes up the entire village. They just don't know what to make of it.
You said this cuisine is considered one of the great arts in Persian culture. Tell me more about that. In what way?
Well, the Silk Road ran through Iran. It connected the West, Europe, to the East. And a lot of our words that we use for food in the West come from Persian words. And so it has always influenced Europe and the West. For Persians themselves, food is fundamental to family structure. the mother is a very important figure in the family home, and she's the primary cook. And when families in Iran, especially now, not Iranian-Americans as much, but Iranians themselves, gather for meals three times a day, they gather around the sofre, which is this blanket that they put on the floor, and they all sit around it, and usually in an order of the head of the household down, and they meet at the corners of the sofre three times a day, something we don't do in the West now. Even at the dining room table, you know, it's not really used for that anymore. Mm-hmm. So it's just a base food for the family. And as far as art goes, it's such a delicate cuisine. It takes a lot of patience, a lot of just intuition. You know, it's handed down through the generations, and it's not, and people don't usually write recipes down, you know. It's just a little bit of this, a pinch of that. And it's unlike any other cuisine.
What are some of its signature dishes?
Well, it has to do with the balance of sweet and sour. Some of the signature dishes, I mean, what the West would know, they would think of kebabs, which is nice, but it's not really that important. Rice is the biggest staple, buttery, saffron-infused rice at every meal. Bread is another thing. Cheese, yogurts, herbs, like bunches of basil and mint and dill. These are actually eaten by, you know, sprigfuls, and you just put them in a wrap of bread, and that's a wonderful meal. And tea, fragrant tea. These are just very basic, but these are the, you know, the everyday sort of meals that people eat. And then there is a vast array of stews as well. They smell wonderful.
Are there particular Persian recipes, maybe some of the ones you've included in your book, that are your favorites?
There's a couple that I really love in the book, and there's some that I haven't included. And there is the elephant ears, the fried fritters that we call gushafil or elephant ears, you know, because of the memory of my mother making them for me and how sinful they are, you know. And I absolutely love the duh, which is this yogurt minty sort of drink. You know, I think the Indians cuisine has a similar drink to it. And always, always come back to the saffron rice, which is so comforting, with the tadik, which is this pancake fried like potato lining. I don't know how else to tell you. You have to taste it. But they're all comfort foods for me. You know, simple, very simple foods.
And it's interesting listening to you talk, how it reminds me how strongly food, it's not just that it's food, it's when it's linked to memory. I mean, your memory of your mother making elephant ears for you, you know, and I'm sure everything you describe, I'm sure, is linked to some strong memory for you. I mean, that's what makes food so magical.
Yes. It's memory of home, memory of mother, I think, you know, comfort. And there's nothing as primary, as fundamental as that first bite your mom gives you, you know, that mushed up, you know, spoonful of food that you get to chew for the first time. Everything is back to that. I mean, you know, at every party, everyone gathers around the kitchen. There's a reason behind it. Absolutely. I think it comes back to mother, always.
Marcia Marin is the author of the novel Pomegranate Soup. She spoke with Anne Strangechamps.